Do you remember the 21st night of September? That is the release date today. That is the date today. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to episode 57 of GDN the podcast. Yeah, we're back. And it's a solo episode for the first time, I believe, since like late June. I think that was the last time that I released an episode by myself without Daniela. We've had 7 episodes since then. 7. Every single one has had Daniela in it. And this is the first one without her. And it's going to be the last one without her because the next episode, Daniela will be involved because that's like next week. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. Okay? What we're really here for, is the tea, the gist of the GDN Nation. Why? Because I asked you guys to let me know what you guys wanted advice on, what you guys needed help on, what you guys needed some support, assistance, anything that I could do to help you guys with. You guys sent them through. You guys sent me through the things that you need some help with. And here we are. We got a list of things that we need to go through to help you guys out. And we're going to go through that. We're going to start right now. No handy pandy, no swandy mandy. We're getting through it immediately. Do you know? Come on. Come on. Let's go. Dilemma number one. So one of my friends messaged me and they were like, oh, I feel like you should talk about the fact that lowering your standards for somebody never ends well. And I've said this before. Like, I feel like I've said this before. I've never had a segment on it, though. We're going to have a segment on it right now, okay? Guys, you know how I feel about standards. You know how I feel about personal pillars. You know, I always say that you should have morals or as in, like, beliefs that are, like, down, like, they're yours. They're yours to own. Do you know what I mean? And you should live your life in line with those pillars that you set for yourself, right? So if you now have a belief system that's been cultivated by these personal pillars, that's what I like to call them, you know. If you have a belief system that's been set up because of these personal pillars, you then accepting, you know, choosing to accept to live outside of those personal pillars for somebody else, it's never going to end well. Why? Because you, especially if you've lived by your personal pillars for a long time, like if you're somebody who's very aware of what your standards are, very aware of what your expectations are, if you're hyper aware of what you want, the type of person that you are, if you're very self-aware, this never works. The only way in which lowering your standards could ever work is if you don't respect yourself enough to have standards in the first place. Do you know what I mean? Because once you have standards, you are very aware, you're very knowing of what it is you expect, what it is you demand, and what it is you can take. Do you know what I mean? And the moment that you let somebody mess up that feng shui, there's gonna be problems. And you know, I believe it was a couple episodes ago I came on this and I had a massive rant about somebody who was in my life at that point. And I was like, it was that pod on that run that I was like, yeah guys, they need to go, they need to be snipped immediately. And they were snipped, they were cut off. And you know, I feel like a lot of the time that's how it's gonna end up. If you lower your standards, you're going to end up cutting them off. Whether you have, if we're talking about this romantically, whether you end up having, you know, a relationship with them, or you have like a situationship with them, or you have an imaginationship with them, or whether nothing happens at all and it's just a crush and a fantasy. Eventually, you're going to get to a point where it's like, yeah, this is kind of dumb, this is kind of stupid. But when you get to that point, you're going to feel a lot of the blame, like you're going to place a lot of the blame on yourself, because really and truly, if you kept to your personal pillars, if you stayed within the lines that you painted for yourself, none of this would have happened. And invariably, the only reason why you'd be in a position to be wanting to cut somebody off is if something bad does happen. Do you know what I mean? So, like, guys, just never go outside the lines. Ever. Ever. If you know that you're a type of person that, for example, you're a type of person who you know from your heart of hearts that you're an overthinker. So you know that if you're going to get into a romantic situation with somebody, that you need that person to be able to overly communicate, to be communicating really well so that you're not going to get in your mind about it. If you now go and get in a relationship with somebody who hates texting, if you get into a relationship with somebody who isn't open with their feelings, if you get into a relationship with somebody who doesn't talk about what they're thinking about, what they're feeling at any specific time, and they communicated that to you, you cannot then be mad at that person for doing what they said they were going to do. Because they've told you. They've let you know. Do you know what I mean? They've had the decency to let you know. Because a lot of the time, Yeah, it's very different if you get into a situation and at the beginning, they're amazing with communication. They're texting you back, really good replies, all of this, and they're very open with their emotion, and it changes. If that happens, of course, that's different. But if somebody at the beginning of a situation tells you, oh, hey, I'm not really that big on texting, I'm more of an in-person person, hey, they've let you know. So now you, at that point, have the decision to make whether this is something that you're going to be okay with. Because none of this, like recently, my last talking stage, guys, I was like to the girl that I was talking to. I was like, I told her, I was like, I'm not really a big texter. My replies, they're very iffy. They can ebb and flow. Like sometimes they're really good, sometimes they're really bad. But like when I'm with you in person, I'm never on my phone. That's why my replies are bad. When I'm with people, when I'm out, I'm never on my phone. So no, when I come to see you in person, when we're spending time together, that time is for you. That time is all yours. You have my full undivided attention. And I've told them this from the very beginning because I thought that was important for them to know, right? And the person at the time said it was okay. It was perfectly fine. It was perfectly fine. And we went on a couple of dates. We had, you know, a couple of days out together, whatever. And then it got to a point where now they're coming to me, complaining to me, saying that my replies are us. And I was like, guys, I let you know. You know, I told you. And here you are telling me this is something that you didn't expect. I let you know, you know? So that's when you've put yourself in positions that they're very avoidable. This is what I was saying. Like the only reason why you'd be in a position where you're like, the only reason why she felt she had to come to me about that situation is because she let go of her standards. Like she's somebody who needs that attention. She'd like that attention. Do you know what I mean? But I'm not able to give it to her. So once that conversation happened, I'm like, cool. Like that's okay. You're perfectly valid in what you're saying. But like, I'm not going to be that person who's texting you every hour of every day. Do you know what I mean? I can't do that. I cannot guarantee that for you. I told you, as I said at the beginning, guys, I'm like this. I'm this certain way. You're like this. You're this certain way. We just don't connect on that level. We're not that compatible in that way. And sometimes that's okay. Sometimes it's okay to leave things there. It's not every day that somebody says something, right? And you need to say, I'll give them a chance. If something is that important to you, that you know you're not willing to compromise on it, why would you then compromise on it? It makes no sense, guys, okay? So that is it, yeah? Talking point number one, lowering your standards for somebody never, ever, ever, listen to me, guys, ever ends well. You'll only ever regret it, and you'll only really ever have yourself to blame. And then the blame that you put on yourself makes you feel shit. And really and truly, I'm going to say this, and I mean this in the nicest way possible, I hope you do feel shit. I hope you feel a little bit shit. Because you went into that fully knowing what type of person that you are. This is what I'm saying. Like, unless you're incredibly unself-aware, unless you don't know yourself, you know what you need. You know what you want, right? You should be able to communicate that to the people that you want to get to know. It's as simple as that. As simple as that. And this, I feel, leads on well into the next one. The situation that I was saying before of when it was one of the recent pods, and I was going on the rant about somebody who was in my life who just wasn't really benefiting me in any way, shape or form at that point in time. So I went on to cut them off, right? Cool. That's where we're going with the second point, because the bullet point that I have in my notes section is filling the void once you've cut someone off, right? So as I said, I had that, you know, rant on the pod. I then had the moment of like, yeah, they need to go. So then obviously they were cut off. How that happened, I don't think the details are that important. Just phone call, told them what I need to say. Don't talk to me again. Boom, done. Do you know what I mean? So then we're here now. It's been like, well, I don't even know, like 6 weeks now? Is it 6 weeks? I don't know. But like, I feel like people really love talking about cutting people off. Even me, like I talk about cutting people off all the time. Like if people aren't serving, you cut them off, get rid. You can always find somebody else, always, you know? Like, especially if they're actively causing you pain. Like, I'm sorry, guys. If you remember the rant that I went on in that pod, I was stressed. You could hear it in my voice. I was stressed out. Do you know what I mean? So if you are in a position where you're genuinely unhappy because of this person, like I always, always say to cut them off. Like, there is nobody who you should allow the power to actively make you upset. Like, I'm sorry. It cannot happen. It cannot be allowed. Do you know what I mean? So I feel like, within people telling you actively to cut people off who don't make you happy, people don't ever really talk about filling the void that person not being in your life now creates. Do you know what I mean? Like, you're person that you had here in your life who, yeah, unfortunately now is annoying you and now you've cut off, they were still in your life. And, you know, you were talking to them, say that you're close to them, like you were talking to them quite a lot, like you went out with them quite often, you did things with them often. Do you know what I mean? They'd be the person you call, they'd be the person you text, stuff like that, right? In certain situations. And now if you're in that situation again, you don't have that person to go to. So I feel like people never really talk about that side of things. People never really talk about filling the void of the people that you cut off. And in the beginning stages, like the first week is always us. The first week you cut someone off is always cheese, because you're kind of like, in your head, you're kind of debating, oh, should I have done this? Am I going to regret it? Like, you kind of feel like you are regretting it because there is just this gaping hole. Like, it's not been filled yet. Do you know what I mean? But then you need to now look at this as an opportunity to invest into something, right? That time that you would have spent talking to that person, that time you would have spent being with that person, that time you would have spent doing things with that person, right? You can now spend that time on something else. And whatever that is, that's completely up to you. For me personally, I fell back in love with Football Manager. You know what I mean? And I also did a ludicrous amount of music scouting for my September playlist. And let this be known, guys, by the way, that my September playlist is insane. And I called this, I said this on the 20-something of August, that September was going to be amazing, because September every single year musically is amazing for me. But that's besides the point. If you don't know about my monthly playlists, get to know. Type in GDM, go to profiles on Spotify, find my profile, listen to all of my playlists because they're all amazing. Anyway, I did that. That's what I spent doing with my time. I started writing more. I started playing basketball more. I started doing other things. Do you know what I mean? That time needs to be reinvested into other things. Otherwise, you're going to feel the void of that person not being there. Like, as in, like, you're going to feel the emptiness. That person no longer being in your life is leaving. Do you know what I mean? There's going to be a hole. And that's just never good. That's never good for you, you know? And I feel like it's very hard sometimes to acknowledge that somebody who you now know no longer serves you in life has left a hole. Because for you to be in the mindset of, oh, I want to cut this person off, like, you don't actively like this person anymore. Like, you don't feel like they serve you. But then to acknowledge that they have left a void means that they were once valuable to you. Do you know what I mean? They once meant something to you. And that is very, like, it's a conflicting, those are conflicting messages. Do you know what I mean? Like, they're very opposite ends. Like, oh, I don't like you enough to keep you in my life, but I liked you enough for you to leave a void. Like, that's crazy. Like, for that to be at the happening at the same time is very insane. But that's very fine. It's very okay. Okay? So, guys, if you ever cut somebody off and within the first week, 2 weeks, month, however long it takes, just remember, they drove you to the point that not only did you actively consider cutting them off, not only did you talk to other people about the idea of cutting them off, not only did you think about, if I was going to cut them off, how would I do it? You actually went and did it. You're not going to renege on all of that. You can't do that. You can't now take all the steps back. Like, don't do that. You make yourself look like a fool. You make yourself look like a he-jet. And we don't deal with he-jets around here. We don't. There's one thing that you guys know. I don't deal with stupid people. And, you know, whether I talk to you, whether you know me or not, you know, guys, you know how international the podcast is now. We've been listening, people be listening all over the world. Every single continent has GDN listeners. Do you know what I mean? Part of the GDN nation. GDN nation might as well replace the United Nations at this point. We've got so many fucking countries here. But anyway, whether you know me or not, this pod is very, very clear in its way that we don't like people who are stupid. This is not academic stupidity. This is not life stupidity. It is just genuine moments of, are you even human? Because I don't think your brains function correctly. Do you know what I mean? Like, as in, like, how can you do this as a human being? Those type of people, we don't fuck with them, right? So for you to have been able to cut somebody off, you cannot allow yourself to renege on that. You cannot allow yourself to take that back, because that is actively disrespecting yourself. You're disrespecting yourself from, you know, the person, the version of you that was feeling, oh, should I cut them off? You're disrespecting that version of you. You're disrespecting the version of you that felt hurt, felt wronged by this person. You're disrespecting the version of you that had to find the courage to be able to cut off this person who once meant something to you. Do you know what I mean? And you're disrespecting yourself, your future you. You're disrespecting your future self because you're going backwards. You're not allowing yourself to advance. You're going backwards. And that is never, ever, ever a good thing. So just know, in the aftermath of cutting someone off, there will always be a period where it's like, I miss this person. That's natural. Of course you're going to miss them. But that time, that energy, that space of your life that you dedicated to that person previously now just needs to be filled by something else. It can be filled by something new. It can be split into other things so that you now are spending more time doing things that you wanted to do before, but you felt like you didn't have the time for. Right now, I'm probably in my best like writing period of my life, to be honest. Like I'm doing amazingly with my writing. And that wouldn't have happened if this person was still in my life, because I would have spent the time that I've spent now writing, I would have spent it with that person. Do you know what I mean? So if you feel like there's somebody in your life that you need to cut off, cut them off. But also know that it's not just that. It's not just cutting them off and then it's done. You need to put the work in to be able to actively, do you know what I mean, feel the weight of that person. Otherwise, you're just kind of staying still. And we don't like staying still. We like to progress over here. You know what I'm saying? But anyway, that's the first segment of the pod. And you know, Daniela is not here for our doo-doo bit. You know, we can't send you off telling you to go take a shit. We can't do that, but I can. Guys, go take a nice fat dumpy-dumpy. Go take a nice fat dumpy-dumpy and get rid of the feces in your rumpy-pumpy. Buzz. We'll be back after this short break. Hope you guys had a nice dookie in the toilet sesh right then and there. If you did not go to the toilet after I asked you to go to the toilet, I'm taking that as disrespect. You're disrespecting me. Do you know what I mean? I don't think you want me to feel like you're disrespecting me. I just feel like that's not something you want to do. So just make sure you went and dookied, man. That's really it. I'm not asking for a lot. I'm just asking you to clear your bowels. Like, come on, man. That gut health is very important. And that can't happen if you're loading up inside of you. You know what I'm saying? But anyway, that might have been paused. But anyway. We land that big out of our hand, but like it's also never gonna die. But like, you guys know what you're coming here for anyway. You're gonna hear about Dookie every episode. We know this. But the third bullet point of this podcast episode is the fact that sometimes it's okay to have a sad day. Sometimes it's okay. And me, I'd say this year hasn't been as good of a year in terms of happiness as last year. Like, I don't feel like I've been as happy as I was last year. But I also don't think I've been as sad as I was last year. It's been a lot more neutral. This year's been very flat and been very plateauy. There's not been as many, peaks and troughs. There's not been as many mountains and valleys. It's kind of just been like a very pretty straight line at a 6 out of 10. Do you know what I mean? Everything kind of balances out to like a 6 out of 10. It's been kind of just cool. It's been cool. It's been aight. But recently, you know, when I say recently, today's Thursday, right? Today's Thursday? Yeah. When I say recently, I mean 2 days ago, Tuesday. Tuesday was a sad day. Tuesday was... I feel like I've cracked the code because I was thinking about why I felt so sad on Tuesday. It might have to do with something that I did on Monday, but anyway. So on Tuesday, I woke up and I was just kind of like, ugh. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, I woke up, I looked outside, and the Birmingham skies were filled with grey. And I was like, God, why is this so gloomy? The pathetic fallacy was really pathetic, because why was I feeling that dookie? But anyway. So I looked outside and it was grey, and I was like, maybe it's that type of day. You know, it's been raining, whatever. If you guys can hear my pen, apologies, but like, I have to move it around in my hand. I always have to be moving something when I'm talking. Otherwise, I lose my train of thought. Do you know what I mean? Like, anyway. So, I woke up and I was like, oh, guys, it's really grey. Like, it's kind of going to be a dookie day. Whatever. I didn't really have anything to do on Tuesday. So, I was like, oh, what am I going to do? I'm going to write. Now, for me, when I'm writing, my writing is very provocative emotionally. Like, I like stimulating emotional reactions out of people when they read my writing. That's what I like doing. Like, that's the type of writer I am. So if I'm writing a happy piece, I want my people to be happy. Like, I want my people to feel the joy that I have in my mind. I have the picture in my mind of what I want to portray, what I want to present to my audience. And it's my job to get that image that I've got in my mind across into the minds of my readers as well as possible. I want them to see exactly the same thing that I'm seeing. Obviously, there's going to be nuances in that because, you know, individual interpretation and whatnot. But anyway, more of the story is, I wanted to write a sadder piece. Like, when I say sad, I mean heartbreaking, like actually soul crushing. And that piece is still in the oven. I'm cooking. But anyway, I wanted to write that sad piece. Now, for me, to be able to write something sad, I can do that whenever, really and truly. Like, if I wanted to write something sad right now, I could do it. But if I want to write something to the max, like if I want to create a level of catharsis, that's the right word, right? Catharsis. If I want to create a level of catharsis, an emotional provocation that is just like worthy of me, like my writing is going to be good. So like, I want the emotional provocation to be good. Like, I need to put myself in the space of feeling the emotions that I want to put out, right? So if I wanted to write a sadder piece, like I needed to be more in my sad bag. So now I've gone and put on my sad songs. Now, my sad songs are not actually songs that are sad. Like, I don't think a lot of my sad songs, the songs that are on my crying playlist, most people wouldn't say these are songs that you'd cry to. However, my relationship with music is very different in terms of like I kind of just put the songs that remind me of certain times, certain people, whatever. Things that make me sad. Anyway, so I was listening to these songs. And now I'm in my sad bag and now I'm writing, right? And I'm like, okay, cool. Like, I'm writing, this writing is really good. It's really soul crushing. It's really heartbreaking. It's doing everything that I wanted it to do, right? But then now, after I finished writing, I was just sad. I was just sad. And sometimes that can happen. Like, I've said this before on the podcast of like, if you want to not feel sad all the time, you need to stop listening to sad music. I'm sorry. Like, you got to stop listening to the Tate McRae's of the world, to the Billie Eilish's of the world. You cannot listen to them consistently at a high volume if you want to be a happy person. You can't do it. You can't do it. Mitski, you can't do it. I'm sorry. Like, you're going to have to let yourself go at some point. I feel like this is why this year specifically, my listening and then engagement with Maggie Lindemann's music has gone down. Of course, I love Maggie. She's the love of my life. However, quite a lot of her songs are quite sad. And not, like, less so on Sucker Punch, Paranoia was quite sad. But, like, they put you in a space of, like, you're going to feel what Maggie wants you to feel. And this is what a good artist does. Like, she makes you feel what she was feeling at that time. Now, but if you want to be happy and you don't want to be feeling what she's feeling, you can't listen to that. Do you know what I mean? So my whole shtick is the reason that Tuesday was a sad day for me is because I listened to that sad music. I went on to write that sad piece of writing. But then I was just sad afterwards. And I was like, why am I so sad? Like, I know I've listened to sad music. I know I've written a sad piece. But, like, I don't know what I'm sad about. Do you know what I mean? I'm just sad. And sometimes it's okay to feel that. Because I feel like, for me specifically, I compartmentalize my emotions a lot. Like, I kind of just, things happen. And I kind of just forget that it happens. And I'm just like, ah. We'll just deal with that later. We'll deal with that down the line. I don't need to deal with that right now. And what normally happens is, I'd probably say it probably averages to like once every 3 months. I say quarterly, you know, 4 times a year. I just have those days. I need to stop saying we. Like, I'm so used to Daniela being here. She's not here, guys. It's okay, guys. But anyway, I'm so used to, you know, pushing things down the line that eventually it has to all come out. Now, before, I literally wouldn't do these. I wouldn't have my sad days. And it would just come out as something small. Like, something small would happen. And then everything would come out all together. If you couldn't tell, I dropped my pen. Everything would come out all together. And it was just this outburst of emotion. And it was just like, guys, that was fucking... You dropped your pen and now you're fucking crying. Like, it's really not that deep. Do you know what I mean? But that's not the point. That's never the point. Do you know what I mean? It's about getting the emotions out in a way that is managed and controlled, but also in a way that you know and you trust yourself enough to be comfortable enough in this emotion, but not to let the emotion overwhelm you. Because if you have those sad days too often, that can now become the new normal and you're just in that space all the time. And it's never going to end well. It's never going to end well. But sometimes having sad days is important and it's needed as well. Like, I felt like before Tuesday, like, the week before, I wouldn't say I was sad, but it was in, like, I could tell it was coming. I needed to, do you know what I mean? So I had that Saturday on Tuesday, got everything out that I needed to get out, like, writing-wise. And now I'm perfectly okay. Now I'm perfectly fine. We've moved on. We've dealt with everything that we've had to deal with in the last 3 months. And now we're on to bigger and better things, do you know what I mean? But I'm just saying it's very important for you guys to allow yourself the space to just feel your emotions. However, that always, like everything else in life, has to come in a balanced manner, okay? It's all fun and games, you know, having your five a day, But if every one of those five fruits and veg a day is the same thing, like, that's not really doing anything good for you. Do you know what I mean? Everything is good in moderation. You have to come with variety. You also have to come with balance, okay? So, guys, feel your sadness if you're sad. Feel your happiness if you're happy, okay? But do not ever, ever, ever let those emotions start controlling you, because when you do, that's when you put yourself in a position to be able to end up in a place that we don't want to go to. Do you know what I mean? I think we all know what I'm trying to say when I say that. I don't think I need to go any further. Do you know what I mean? On to the next point. The next point. Right. This so far has been like an advice pod. This has been like a reaction to what people want to listen to from me, like what they want to hear from me, whatever. Right. Now we're getting on to my shit. This is the shit that I need to say, right? I'm going to say this, and I'm going to make sure you guys are listening when I say this. Currently, right now, I feel like I'm at the point in my life where I'm the most assured in myself that I've ever been. Like, when I go and do something now, I am very sure that I'll do it well. Like, there's not a lot of things that I do now that I'm unsure about. And people often ask me, like yesterday, I had two trials. I had a basketball trial and I had a football trial for this year at university, obviously. So I've gone to these trials and people were chatting to me before and they're like, oh, are you nervous? Whenever people ask me whether I'm nervous, I always instinctively, like I don't even think about it at this point, but I always say, I don't get nervous. And people say this often. A lot of people say this. And they're like, oh, I don't get nervous. Guys, feeling nervous is perfectly okay. But when you say you feel nervous, that means that it's the kind of same shtick I was talking about before. When you say you're nervous, like when you admit that you're nervous, I feel like sometimes that makes it a lot worse. Not even sometimes, it makes it a lot worse. Like when you're like, oh, I'm actually nervous about this, like I'm nervous. Obviously, having nervous shows that you care about something. However, if you now say that you're nervous about it, that gives the nerves so much more power. So much more power. If you actively just like deny that the nerves exist, guys, they don't have a lot of power because you're not granting them any. It's the exact same premise as being like, oh, like if somebody's like chatting shit to you and you allow what they're saying to get to you, you're going to feel what they're saying. But if you now do not care about what they say, they can say whatever. That is not affecting you. So it's the same shtick. But anyway, what I was saying was these trials were happening. People asking me, oh, how are you feeling? Are you nervous? I'm like, no, I'm not nervous. Cool. Because why? I know how good I am. And that's not on some, oh, I'm the best at everything thing. Like, for example, at basketball, I only started playing basketball last year. I only started watching basketball in the autumn of 2021. My relationship with basketball is very, 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 very short. It's not been long at all. It's coming up to 2 years. So, right, now I play it, it's very, very different relationship to just watching it. But I know to myself what level of basketballer I'm at. Like, I'm never going to be at the NBA. I'm never going to, you know, play for the London Lions. I'm never going to go pro. However, I know where I want to be and I know where I am right now. And where I am right now is not where I want to be, right? But within that, I know what I'm good at and I know what I'm not good at. And at the trials at basketball, I saw a lot of people who are in denial. This is going to sound bad. I'm going to also stop apologizing for those moments where I feel like something's going to sound bad. Because really and truly, I feel like you guys just, you get it. You get what I'm trying to say. Like, I don't need to come with the disclaimers anymore. You guys know what it's like. Do you know what I mean? But people were saying, oh yeah, you know, I'm going to do amazing. I'm going to smash it. And there's nothing wrong with confidence. I love a bit of confidence. Confidence is amazing. However, you know, when you ask them, oh, like, what would you say your best thing is? Like what are you best at? Oh, you know, I'm a really, really good shooter. Guys, why am I watching said people who are saying they're really, really good shooters go 0 for 5, 0 for 10? I did not see them score a bucket from three. I didn't see it. So at that point, I must think, you know, it's even after you were just in denial. Do you know what I mean? Me, I know in my heart of hearts, offensively, I'm not where I want to be on the basketball court. I'm not. Yeah, but I know for a Fendi fact, my strengths on the basketball court are defensively. Defensively, you can't mess with me. I'ma slide my puppies at my feet. Basketball talk, guys. I'ma slide my puppies at my feet. I'ma get to your spot, I'm gonna block your shot. I'm sorry. It's gonna happen eventually. It's gonna happen. You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying that I'm prime LeBron James. I'm not saying I'm prime D Wade. I'm not saying, you know, I'm prime Marcus Smart. Shout out him, man. Why do you have to leave Beantown? God. Anyway, I'm not saying that I'm, you know, any NBA player, but like that's my strength. Okay. But I feel like a lot of the time when your strength is something that is not as flashy, when your strength is something that's not as, you know, it's not as, ooh, look at me. Do you know what I mean? I'm amazing. I've got really good, you know, finishing at the rim. I've got really good handles. Like when your strength isn't that, I feel like it's very, very easy to just want to say that your strength is that because that's what people want to hear. But just accept what you're good at. Accept what you're not good at. And just be good at the things that you're good at and work on the things that you're not good at. It's literally, it's that simple. It's that simple. But anyway, the whole reason why I went on this whole spiel, was because I just felt as though people weren't being honest with themselves. And just be more honest with you. Be more honest with each other. Be more honest with yourself that, you know, if you're not where you want to be at, that's perfectly okay. You just need to work harder. It's fine. It's perfectly okay. And with that being said, guys, I need the NBA to come back. I need the NBA to come back. Watching Manchester United so far this season has been awful. Awful. Some would categorize it as emotional abuse, the things that the team does to me. Because explain to me why a professional football team, not just a professional football team, because that could be like fucking Stevenage. Do you know what I mean? That's a professional football team. Do you know what I mean? It could be Harrogate Town. That's a professional football team. We're not talking about them. We're not even talking about a Birmingham City, a Sunderland. We're not even talking about them. We're not even talking about like a Newcastle, like an Aston Villa. Because those are big teams. That's a professional football team. We're not talking about them. We're not even talking about like an Arsenal or a Tottenham or a Chelsea. We're talking about Manchester United. Manchester United. As in, supposedly, the biggest club in England. Right? So let me know why this team of professional footballers who are paid well in excess of like £100,000 a week to play football, let me know why they can't score a goal and then go the next 10 minutes without conceding one. Let me know why that cannot happen. When we score, we concede. And when we concede. Again. And that's why we've started the season horrifically. But anyway, yesterday, United played Bayern Munich in the Champions League and United lost 4-3. However, the performance was actually that good. It was quite good. We started well. First 25 minutes. Good game. We played well. And then our goalkeeper had a howler. Absolute howler. Let a goal in that he absolutely should not have let in. And now Bayern Munich are 1-0 up. They haven't really done anything. And now they've got the lead. And we're just like, ah. And I could tell the players are now deflated. Our goalkeeper's shaking his head. Everyone's kind of just like, oh my God, not this again. And then we kind of start to crumble. And then they score a second goal 4 minutes later. I'm like, here we go. It's going to be 7-0 all over again. Guys, the world is ending. But then it didn't. We go into halftime and it was 2-0. I was like, you know what? It could be worse. It could be worse. After that second goal went in, I was fully expecting us to hold 7. Again. That's already happened this year. But, you know, I was like, cool. You know, whatever. It's 2-0. Fine. Whatever. Come out of halftime. Motherfuckers score a goal within the first 5 minutes of the second half. I'm like, 2-1. Wow. Okay, guys. We might have a chance. You know, we could get a point out of this. We could get maybe even 3. Maybe even 3. A man was dreaming. Oh, man. A man was dreaming about a comeback. I'm sorry. I'll let it be known. I was dreaming about a comeback. I had those hopes. You know, but, you know, it wasn't to be. And, you know, we conceded a penalty, a Dukia's penalty, like 10 minutes later. I don't even know. It was a handball from like a meter away. It was silly, very silly and very like soft penalty. But anyway, Bayern Munich have the penalty. Harry Kane scores it, whatever. Now it's 3-1. I'm like, God, okay, now we're going to get bad again. Because Bayern Munich just kept coming wave and wave and wave after attack. And we just looked so vulnerable. And it was just a mess, whatever. And then it's kind of just like 3-1 until the 80th minute. And then Erik ten Hag brings on Anthony Martial and Alejandro Garnacho. These are like good attacking players. And I'm thinking maybe we try and get a goal before like the 85th, 90th minute and make the ending of the game a bit more interesting. And we do exactly that. We go and score. And it's 3-2. And I'm like, oh my God, guys, surely not. Surely they didn't leave it this late to start a comeback. Because then we actually started moving the ball, playing well. Anthony Martial was amazing last night as well. Also, I'm fully aware that a lot of people have turned the pod off at this point. Don't really care. I need to get my shit off. You know what I mean? It's my part. I choose what I want to talk about. Thank you. But yeah, Anthony Martial came on, he had a really, really good game, and I was just really happy seeing him play football like he used to. It was reminding me of prime Martial. When I say prime Martial, I'm talking 15, 16 Martial. Yes, I'm talking about a footballer whose prime was 8 years ago. Yes, whatever. Whatever. Anyway, it was 3-2, and then, wow, Bayern Munich score again. It's 4-2. I'm like, for fuck's sake, this team is a joke. What the fuck? Why can't we score and just not concede? Like, what the fuck? And then we score again, and it was 4-3. And I was just like, by the end of the game, I was just stunned. Like, I was just like, I don't even know how to feel right now. Because, like, we could have won that game if we didn't make silly mistakes. But then we also didn't get a chance. And I fully expected us to get absolutely obliterated. I expected us to get our assholes opened up. Like... There's no two ways about it. I expected Bayern Munich to put us on a kebab stick and swirl us round an open flame like a fucking donna. Like, I was expecting it, I'm not going to lie. And we didn't get battered. So I don't know how to feel about it. But moral of the story is, Manchester United are causing me emotional suffering. I need the NBA back right now. Why? Because I genuinely believe the Boston Celtics can win the championship this year. And yes, I've been saying this for the last 2 years, but like... This is our year. This is our year. Yes, Marcus Smart has left. Yeah. Yes, you know, Jason Tatum, sometimes he goes missing. Sometimes, whatever. Guys, Marcus Smart leaving might be the best thing to happen to this Celtics group. That's going to sound crazy. However, I'm going to say this so that it's on record. I believe Jason Tatum is going to take a leap because he has done every single year since he's come into the NBA. I believe Jaylen Brown's going to take a leap because he has done every year since he's come into the NBA. And I'm not just talking statistically. I'm talking about emotionally as well. I feel like these guys are going to become leaders. They're going to become the guys who the team looks to. And already they do that in terms of scoring, but I'm talking emotional stability. A lot of the time, you know, when you talk about Marcus Smart, it's like, oh, it's the heart and soul of the Boston Celtics. The heart and soul of the Celtics is now going to become the Jays. The Jays are the guys who are leading. And obviously we've added Kristaps Porzingis. You know, we drafted Jordan Walsh. You know, we've signed O'Shea Brissett. You know, Derek White's going to be our starting point guard now. We've still got Malcolm Brogdon. However, there's kind of like some talk that we might trade him. He kind of wants to start more. I don't know what's going on with him. I kind of don't really care. Maybe we send Malcolm Brogdon to Memphis and get Marcus Smart back. That would be the ideal situation. But anyway, moral of the story is I just need the NBA back because it doesn't even start for a whole nother month. However, preseason starts in like 10 days. So there'll be some Celtics basketball soon. I'll be watching my actual, you know, Celtics players. It's not going to be like none of this G League bullshit. It's like Summer League. But anyway, that's going to be the pod for today. Thank you for joining us. When I say us, I mean me. Daniel's not here, as we said. I'm sad. I'm disappointed. But it is what it is. It is what it is, guys. Thank you so much for listening, okay? This has been your boy, LeGDM. Don't forget to share the podcast, send it to a friend of a friend of a friend of a friend, and their mom, and their auntie, and their shopkeeper, and the lady in the bakery opposite their house. All right, thank you. And until next time, guys, don't die, don't commit suicide, and peace.